Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, we're continuing our discussion of Vanasram Dharma. And we're going to do simultaneous translation tonight. Okay? And so hopefully it'll go better than last night. So what we're going to do, you're going to need fifth canto, the Bhagavatam, chapter 4. We're going to read, we're going to progressively be reading one verse after another from Bhagavatam explaining Vanasram Dharma. And so somebody can get her fifth canto, part one. So the text will be 5-4. Five four fourteen. Fifth canto, chapter 4, text number 14. Starts with being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow. I'm sorry? It's not supposed to go overhead. It's supposed to just go to the recording. And whoever wants to hear from you, they have to gather around because there is no amplification for you. I don't think they understand. Oh. Let's try. Yesterday was impossible for me. Where's our other guys? Where's our men? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So, today we're reading then from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 4. Your characteristics of Lord Rishabhadev, text number 14. This is a very long verse. Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhadev was fully independent because his form was spiritual, eternal, and full of transcendental bliss. He eternally had nothing to do with four principles of material misery, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. Neither was he materially attached. He was always equipoised, and he saw everyone on the same level. He was unhappy to see others unhappy, and he was a well-wisher of all living entities. Though he was a perfect personality, the Supreme Lord and controller of all, he nevertheless acted as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Varnashram Dharma and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Varnashram Dharma had become neglected, just like now. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant public how to perform the duties within the Vanashram Dharma social system. In this way, he regulated the general populace and householder life, enabling them to develop religion and economic well-being and to attain reputations, sons and daughters, material pleasure, and finally, eternal life. By his instructions, he showed how people could remain householders and at the same time become perfect by following the principles of Vanashram Dharma. purport. Vanashram Dharma is meant for the imperfect conditioned souls. It trains them to become spiritually advanced in order to return home back to Godhead. A civilization that does not know the highest aim of life is no better than animal society. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nate vidu svartha gatim hi vishnum. A human society is meant for elevation to spiritual knowledge so that all of the people can be freed from the clutches of birth, death, old age, and disease. The Vanashram Dharma enables human society to become perfectly fit for getting out of the clutches of Maya. And by following the regulative principles of Vanashram Dharma, one can become successful in this regard. See Bhagavad Gita 3:21-24. And we're going to skip that for now. We'll come back to that perhaps later. Omaganantamanandasa gananshana salakaya chakshinminitamina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya manobisam sapitamina bhutale svayamupakadamanam dadati svapadantikam. So earlier we've been speaking about different aspects of Vanashram Dharma, and today we're going to speak about the origin of Vanashram Dharma and how Vanashram functions and why. So for this, we need to begin at the beginning, which means that we begin in Goloka Vrindavan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and his devotees. And why are you all sitting so far away? Come on. Come on. Thank you. So what's going on in Goloka Vrindavan? Chris is there with his friends, and they're having a good time. Turn this down, please. Turn it down so there's no echo. Thank you. He's having a good time with his friends, and they're having what we call loving exchange. Now, we're all mature enough to have had some experience in loving exchange, and we know that there's some things that facilitate the exchange of love, and there's other things which create problems in the relationship, right, as we say. Huh? So those things, the loving relationship, this is called rasa. And those things that enhance the loving relationship, those are desirable, because that's, after all, what you want to do. That's the purpose of the relationship, is to enhance these loving emotions, that each party, they become filled with this just wonderful feeling, expressions of love by reciprocating with the Supreme Beloved Krishna. Now there's other activities which interfere with that exchange of love, and those things, this is called rasabhas. So there's rasa and rasabhas. Rasa is the positive, rasabhas the negative. They're those things that interfere with the rasa. Or there's even worse things, right? That are like, what we would call offenses. And this is called aparad. So Radha is Krishna's Supreme Beloved. And then there's Radha and there's aparadha. Radha actually means bliss. So aparadha is those things which take away or detract from the bliss. So this is the basis of all relationships, is this eternal loving exchange that's going on with Krishna. This is what actually establishes what relationship is. So that's going on in Goloka Vrindavan. Now, as we come farther away from Goloka Vrindavan, things, they change a little bit. Say, for example, you step outside of Vrindavan, the next closest place is Mathura. You know Mathura? No. So Mathura is another place south of Vrindavan. In India, south of Delhi, there's Vrindavan, about 100 kilometers, something like that, a little more. And then south of Vrindavan, there's Mathura. So Vrindavan is where Krishna's pastimes take place when he's here in this world. Mathura is where, Vrindavan is where Krishna's childhood pastimes take place. And then when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, his first stop is Mathura. Now in Mathura, he also has loving relationships, but what happens is there's a sense of formality that enters into it. When Krishna's in Vrindavan, he's just Krishna. He's one of the boys, or he's the beloved, or he's the darling of Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, like this. In other words, he takes the role of being an ordinary personality to facilitate the loving exchange. You can move up into this way a little bit because she can't see me. Okay, right there. Okay, that's good. So there's some formality now that enters into the relationships. Because when Krishna goes to Mathura, he's taking care of business, right? Kills King Kamsa, he establishes King Ugrasena on the throne. He's acting in a more formal way. He has one relationship there, with Kubja. And it's not as intimate as his relationships with the cowherd girls in Vrindavan. And then after that, then Krishna, he goes to Dwarka, his palace on the sea. Now in Dwarka, Krishna is married with all of his queens. And there the relationships are even more formal, that the queens, they follow all the proper rules of etiquette, what to do, what not to do, and so on like this. And so there's still love, there's a loving exchange with Krishna, but there's a formality that prevents that great intimacy that is experienced in Goloka Vrindavan. Then, we leave the spiritual world and come to the material world. Or no, we leave Dwarka and go to Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, of course, Krishna, he doesn't show up there as Krishna, but he manifests there as Vishnu or God, the formal personality. And here, of course, the relationships are very formal. The people there, the devotees, they offer the Lord, worship the Lord in awe and reverence. And so, again, as we're going further and further outside of Goloka Vrindavan, everything becomes more and more formal until we come to this material world. And here in the material world, everyone is trying to take the place of Krishna. This is what's going on, the male and female. They try to become the enjoyers of this world, and they're trying to imitate Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So what this does, it creates basically an impossible situation for Krishna to manifest himself here because everybody's trying to imitate him as being the enjoyer. So when the living beings, when they take up devotional service, they begin to worship Krishna in the proper way. They allow him to show himself as he is, as the supreme enjoyer, and they take the proper relationship with him as the servant of the Lord. So Vanashram Dharma then is meant to turn these relationships, to rectify the relationships that we have in the material world from being one of imitating the Lord to being one of being in proper relationship with the Lord and serving Him so that we can become qualified to enter into the spiritual world at the end of this life. So this is the whole idea behind relationship. Huh? Our material relationships are perverted reflections of the original relationships, trying to imitate the Lord. And the idea of Vanashram Dharma is to rectify the social circumstances so that the jivas, the living beings, they can enter into those pastimes in the proper way. Any questions about that so far? Yes, no? No? Go ahead. Here's the microphone. Use the microphone.
A se lahko tukaj v tem življenju pogleda, kam je šla duša, ki je zapustila telo?
We can talk about that later. After class, okay.
Where is Vaikuntha? You said Goloka Vrindavan, he from Vrindavan he went to Mathura, and is Mathura like Vaikuntha?
I said in the beginning this is not class for beginners. It requires some background understanding. And the best way to understand this is to read Prabhupada's Krishna book, where he explains the pastimes of Krishna. But basically, Krishna's childhood pastimes take place in Vrindavan. He leaves Vrindavan, he first goes to Mathura. Then he leaves there. He leaves there just at a young age, 9 years old.
Isn't that just the difference? His pastime that he was here in Vaikuntha's like in spiritual world?
They're the same. Krishna's pastimes here in this world. When Krishna comes to this world, his whole place of residence comes with him. So the Goloka Vrindavan, which is unlimited in size, is completely manifest within the 64 square miles of the Vrindavan area. So it's inconceivable, but somehow or other it's all there. And so Krishna has his next pastime there in Mathura, then he goes to Dwarka. So these are simply different places that are duplicated here on the earth. They also have their counterpart in the spiritual world. Do we have that poster someplace that shows from the Brahma Samhita that shows all the different realms? Mahesh Dham, Devi Dham, so on? So you look in the shop sometime. You go there, there's a nice graphic display of all the different spiritual realms. Okay? That's a description from the Brahma Samhita. And so you can see that. It still doesn't give you any idea of the geographic arrangement, but you can find that in other places. Goloka what?
Goloka chart.
Goloka chart? I don't know. Goloka chart, is that a name of something?
Yeah, that's like a big poster, and that's like Goloka Vrindavan, there is Vaikuntha, and then there is material.
Okay, yeah. Found second. I didn't know it had a title. Something else? Yeah. Give him the microphone. Wait. Don't pull on it. Don't pull on that.
In the different place in the spirit world, they have different living entities, have different relations in relation with God.
Different places where? In the material world?
You know, in the spiritual world, it's like Goloka and Dvaraka and Mathura and Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
And then in the material world, the spirit soul imitate Krishna.
Yeah.
And what is happened when Krishna came in the material world? Which spirit soul is there? This came from the spirit world or this? How is this? Only this from who have relations with God in spirit world or... What is?
So if I understand your question correctly, when Krishna comes from the spiritual world, he comes with his entourage. In other words, like the president of some country will travel, he takes with him so many ministers, secretaries, and so on. So when Krishna comes to this world, he also comes with his entourage, which are all of his friends, his parents, his well-wishers. And those personalities are eternally liberated souls who come with him to this world to support his pastimes here. And then while he's here, he displays those pastimes for the benefit of all the fallen conditioned souls like us who have the opportunity to hear about him and that we become purified. Does that answer your question? Give him the microphone.
We sometimes say that when we practice devotion service and we are not prepared to go to the Goloka, then came first to the Lila in the Krishna Lila in material world, we seem there in this planet, and then give me training, and then after this go to the spiritual, to Goloka Vrindavan, like this.
The
Chaitanya Lila first go here, then
it's not exactly like what happens is if we qualify ourselves after this life, then we become born in the place wherever Krishna's material pastimes are going on in the material world. This is called Krishna's Bhauma Lila. Okay, like 5,000 years ago when Krishna was here, that was his Bhauma Lila. It was taking place on this planet. Those pastimes are always going on eternally in the material world. And so when we become qualified at the end of our lives, then we go and participate for one birth in Krishna's Bhauma Lila, and then we are transferred from there to the spiritual world. Okay? So Rishabhdev, we're reading the sloka, how Rishabhdev was feeling compassion for the unfortunate people of the world. It says there that the principles of Varnashram had become neglected. And so as the Supreme Lord, he took it upon himself to establish them again. So this is very much like our situation today. The principles of Varnashram Dharma have become neglected for various reasons. And therefore, it's required that necessary that one servant of the Lord will again act to establish him, one or more rather servants of the Lord. So it says, therefore he behaved as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Now this is God himself, right? He was behaving as if he was an ordinary conditioned soul, and therefore he strictly followed the principles of Varnashram Dharma and acted accordingly. So sometimes, some of our devotees, they have the opinion that Varnashram Dharma is not for us, meaning us Vaishnavas, but because we are transcendental to Varnashram Dharma. And, we should understand how this is actually so. Are the Vaishnavas transcendental to Varnashram? So in the Vedas, it explains that whoever is born in Kali Yuga, if they're born without the proper sanskaras, that they're born as a Shudra. So therefore, and particularly, of course, the Westerners, who know nothing about those things, all of us are born without such samskara, and therefore all of us are considered not even Shudra, but even less than that, Balachas, those who are outside the Vedic system. However, now there's one verse that explains that a person who has taken initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, even if he was a dog eater, he becomes qualified to perform sacrifice. So this means that the Vaishnava, who is properly initiated, he becomes more than a Brahmana. So in the Vanashram Dharma system, there's the four Varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. The Brahmins are considered the head. The Shudras are the laborers. We were trying to explain this yesterday. The Shudras are the laborers. The Vaishyas, the organizers of society. The Kshatriyas, the administrators. And the Brahmanas, the head. So then the sloka is saying that one who is, even if he is a dog eater, he becomes more than a Brahmana by being properly initiated. So therefore, on the basis of this, many devotees think that we are above Vanashram because we've all been properly initiated. However, I beg to disagree. And Prabhupada disagreed with that also. Back in 1977, Prabhupada was speaking a great deal on and on about Vanashram Dharma. You won't find his statements in his purports of his book, but if you want to read what he is saying on this subject, you have to consult his morning walk conversations and his room conversations where he was training his leaders. And there he was speaking on and on about Vanashram Dharma and the need to establish Vanashram Dharma even within ISKCON. It's a room conversation from February 14th, 1977 in Mayapur. And there, Prabhupada told the leaders that were with him to establish Vanashram Dharma in ISKCON. And they were all shocked because they're saying, well, Prabhupada, we're trying to teach them how to be Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada said, well, it's not so easy to become a Vaishnava. If it were so easy, then why are they all falling down? So the point is that Vanashram Dharma is a stepping stone to lead one to be able to follow the principles of Vanashram Dharma. And I believe we spoke about this point last week, right? Does everybody remember? Yeah? Okay. So, are we above it? In Bhagavad Gita, in the fifth chapter, Krishna explains that one should perform his duty even if it's done imperfectly. And he should, furthermore, he should perform his duty for the sake of leading people on the proper path. Let me find that verse. Okay, I'm sorry, it's not chapter 5, it's chapter 3, text number 29. Actually, we're going to read we're going to read 328 and 29. So 28, one who has a knowledge of the absolute truth does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the difference between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. 29, bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So, the point is that the devotee, he continues to act externally in the same way as, let's say, according to the Vanashram social system, for the sake of leading people on the proper path. Even though he may not be required to do that himself, because he's understood the purpose of the Vanashram system to develop the connection with Krishna, still, Krishna is instructing one that we should follow this nonetheless. The reason is because people who are, let's say, do not understand properly spiritual life, they see the externals and they'll imitate. And so if they see the advanced devotees neglecting Vanashram, then they'll think, oh yes, I'll be advanced too. And I'll neglect Vanashram, even though it's not appropriate for them. So those who are advanced in devotional service, they continue to follow the externals, even for sadhana bhakti. The advanced devotees who are absorbed in raganuga sadhana bhakti, developing their personal relationship with the Lord, still they follow the principles of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti for the same reason, for the sake of giving proper example to others. So the point is, here is the Supreme Lord himself, Rishabhdev. He was establishing this in himself for the same reason, for the sake of giving proper example to others. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as a great man does, the common people will follow in their footsteps. So therefore there's a need to establish a Vanashram system, and there's a need for everyone, both senior and junior, to follow it. So here in this sloka that we read tonight, it's stating that Lord Rishabhdev taught the principles of Vanashram Dharma to the innocent public. He showed them how to perform their duties, and he regulated the general populace in household life, enabling them to develop religion, economic development, having sons and daughters, material pleasure, and finally, eternal life. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are called the four principles of spiritual life. Dharma means to follow the principles of religion. Artha means economic development, that one, in order to enjoy, you have to have some economic development. So artha comes first, then kama, which is enjoyment, and then moksha, finally liberation. So the principles of religion are established in such a way so that one does not have to neglect the material side of life. One can actually enjoy the things, the requirements of the body. One can have those things. And at the same time, one can make progress to go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. So that's the idea. That's the source of Vanashram Dharma, and that's the idea of Vanashram Dharma. Why do we want to follow that? Now, one more comment that I want to make on this. Again, many devotees will give an opinion that we do not require this. But if we see what are they doing in their daily lives? Okay, they may say, yes, I'm a Vaishnava. See, I wear tilak once a week when I come to the temple. I chant japa on my way to work and back. And so I'm a Vaishnava. But they're living in the context of the dominant culture, which is very atheistic. So, Vanasram Dharma, besides giving us proper relationships with each other, gives us an alternative economic structure that we can use to support ourselves so that we can have the prerogative, we have the opportunity to have a decent sadhana. Most grahasas in ISKCON, they do not have the opportunity to go to the morning program every day of the week. I lived in Alachua, Florida for some time. There's in that community more than 1,500 devotees. And how many came to Mangalarti? About 20. Huh? And I was in one class. One devotee was making the comment that it seems like only those devotees who are independently wealthy or who are have some temple engagements are the ones who can come, who are coming to the morning program. And it's correct. Huh? In other words, because they devotees, they live outside, they're absorbed in the external culture, they don't have time for having proper sadhana. So this is another reason why we want to establish a vanashram system, because in that system, there's not only relationships, but there's proper artha, proper economic development that allows us to be able to have a proper sadhana every day. One more point then. The question comes up, is vanashram dharma possible at this time? Well, Prabhupada says contradictory things about this in his purports. Early on, Prabhupada was writing, you'll read in his purports, that it's not possible to reestablish vanashram dharma in the climate of today's world. Then later on, he writes differently, stating that if vanashram dharma is established, this entire world will become like Satya Yuga. Become, in other words, a wonderful place for everybody. So, and he also said other things, of course, in his room conversations of the need to do it. So, is it possible to do it this time? Well, here I'm going to give my opinion. And different devotees may answer this question in different ways. But no, we're not going to establish vanashram dharma the way it was functioning in the previous times. In other words, we're not going to worship the demigods. We're not going to follow Karmakanda section of the Vedas or Gyanakanda. Rather, we'll continue with our spiritual principles of Bhagavat Marg and Panchatriki Marg, deity worship and worship of the Bhagavatam, spiritual master. We'll do that, but at the same time, we'll connect it with the social organization of Varnas. So there's two parts in Varnashram Dharma. There's Varna and Ashram. Ashram we have a fairly good handle on. We understand somewhat what is brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. But we have yet to establish varna in ISKCON. So this is a big challenge to establish varna in ISKCON because this means following a different social structure. By and large, ISKCON, we still follow the social structure of the dominant society. ISKCON is established in a hierarchical sense of, in many temples, they have, instead of having presidents, they have boards. And we have the organization of the GBC and regional secretaries, temple presidents, and so on as a hierarchical, institutional organization. So we're not following Varnashram Dharma, at this point. The question is, will ISKCON do it? That remains to be seen. Right now, Shivaram Swami in India, I'm told by my friends there, he's talking about his efforts to establish Vanashram Dharma with his devotees in Hungary. And they're approaching it in a very intelligent way. So maybe they'll become the leaders in, to set the example for everyone else. Time will tell. We have to see. In any case, the short answer to this question is no, it's not going to, Vanashram Dharma will not be established the way it was before. How it will be in the future, we have to see, and where it will be done, we also have to see. Okay, so we'll stop there for some discussion.
You said about Shivaram Maharaj. They got a Hungary farm. Don't they already do some Varnashram there?
Well, they're attempting. They're just starting. They're doing simple living, but they're not following Varnashram Dharma in a very strict sense. There's different ways of understanding Vanashram. And so we see the different devotees, they approach it in a different way. For example, Bhakti Raghava Swami, who is one of the pioneers of Vanashram Dharma, he's got the website vanashram.org, and you can find a lot of things there. His focus is on simple living. And Prabhupada gave one rule for that: produce only what you need and use only what you produce, which is a very challenging idea. He said if we just follow this one rule, it would change everything. It certainly would. At New Vrajadam, they're not doing that at all. Their budget for their deity worship there is €250,000 a year. So that's not simple living. You know, that money's coming from somewhere else. Nonetheless, the devotees who live there are living simply. So it's a question of how all these things get to be adjusted and, you know, how are you going to do it? What I anticipate is that Vanashram Dharma will show up differently in different places according to how the leaders understand it and establish it. Because it's quite complex. If you look at, Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj, he also teaches and gives lessons in what is Vanashram Dharma. And he's following Manu Samhita, which is arguably the most significant or most important Dharma Shastra for establishing what is Varnashram. Because in Manu Samhita, it gives what are the duties of the four Varnas and the four Ashrams. So everywhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking about duties. These are the place where we get those duties, where we understand them from. Now, even with that, some of those things are possible and some of them are not in the modern society. So, for example, we can't pass laws that are against the law of the land. Well, they're trying to do that with Sharia law, for example, like if somebody steals to chop off their hand, they would like to do that, but they're not doing that yet. So in the same way, there's some things in Manu Samhita that simply wouldn't work. So, you know, how, when those are going to be established, if they're going to go by the wayside, we have to see. And it's probably going to be different in different places. Okay. Use the microphone, please.
I did hear already last week and this today some arguments why it's good to establish Varnashram to be very practical for each of us. Can you maybe say a few
you
more
hear
things?
Some of the reasons why we cannot.
Also.
What do you mean also? What's the question then?
That's the question is why, I mean, maybe it's just alright, we're here, we come to temple, we chant some rounds when we come to job, when we go out of job.
Yeah.
We eat prasadam, we're transcendental. It's a huge thing, so
yeah,
it should
so,
be a really good motivation right. there to
so
do it.
So Prabhupada's response to this was very simple. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, para upakara. Okay, even if you're okay, what about them? What about all those other 7 billion, 7.5 billion people on the planet? What are you going to do for them? Do you have some plan for them? That's what Varnashram is for. Huh? You weren't here. I think you came late. We read the verse. And it's talking about Rishabhdev, how he established Varnashram Dharma had become neglected. And so Lord Rishabhdev established, again, the Varnashram culture. And he did that for the purpose of helping the innocent people become spiritually, make spiritual progress. So that's the idea. And Prabhupada puts it very simply. He said, the purpose of Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord. And also he said, to pave the way back home, back to Godhead. So we all know what the difference between a paved road and a dirt road, and how nice a paved road is compared to a dirt road. So Prabhupada said, pave the way back to Godhead for all the people of this world so it's easy for them to make progress in spiritual life. So this is our challenge. This is what we would like to do. Not for us, okay, you're fine, good for you, but you have to act for the benefit of others. Okay? Microphone.
Ko govorimo, še treslet, ko govorimo o Varnašami, potem mi si dostkrat predstavljamo to moramo imeti zdaj farmo ko na Mačarskem in dokjer nimamo mi...
Wait, try and say it after he's done, because I can't hear both.
Ko mi govorimo o Varnašami, potem mi si sponovadi razmišljamo tako. To mora biti zdaj na farma in tam vsi živeli, tako kot na Mačarskem. Se pravi, smo odvisni, dokjer nimamo mi farme, ne bo nič. Ali je zdaj tudi tako, da opravljajo neki v templu, pa njeni pridigarski bramene, potem nekateri organizirajo kakšne programe, v nekih pa zanima malo kmetijstvo, pa imajo nivo tam najeto, pol eni, ki so bolj priprosti, pomagajo vsem ostalim, ali zdaj mora biti to ena skupnost, prevo, in pol bo šele to. Se mi šti, nimaš?
Yeah, give her the microphone.
So, Tata Kachinavi Prabhu is asking, in Slovenia, are we supposed to wait to establish Varna Ashrama Dharma until we actually have a farm and everybody moves there and there we can act according to our Varna and Ashrama, or we're supposed to be decentralized and, you know, Vaishyas rent some land and do a little bit of gardening here and there, and brahmacharis are here and do lectures and sannyasis visit. Is it supposed to be centralized in one community, in one land, or it can be established, in fractals, in different pieces?
Okay. This is a very good question, and the answer is both. Did you hear that? Did you hear? Yeah, both. It's decentralized and also there's some centralization. In other words, you can't have a Varnashram community without a Kshatriya. Okay? So, it's not that everybody can just go off to the, it's not about living in the village. And a lot of people think that Varnashram means that I become a farmer. That we all should become farmers. Well, this is incorrect understanding. Varnashram is an entire culture, and every culture requires so many people for doing many things besides growing food. But the thing that makes the culture work is the social organization of the varnas, which means a kshatriya. It's just like a family, right? So there can be a family without a father. You know, there's so many are. But certainly when the father is there, everything functions much nicer if he's doing his duty. Or we can call Varnashram a social machine. And so like a simple machine, like a bicycle. If all the parts are there, it works nicely. If one part is missing, it doesn't work so nicely or doesn't work at all. Okay? So, you have to have all the parts, and then they have to know how they're going to work together. So we're going to talk about that in coming weeks. What are all the different parts? How are they functioning together? What everybody's duty is so that the machine can go on. Does that cover your question?
Then when we finish this seminar, then somebody speak, we must have farm. We start with Varnashrama. Or we just start what we have now, and then after this we have, because sometimes since we can, we depend. When we have special land and village, then we start.
So, what do you need to start is the question. Okay? And you need to have a common understanding of what you're doing. Okay? This culture that we live in, the dominant culture, operates, actually both. This culture inside of our temple and the culture outside of our temple, they can both function because we all carry a similar idea of it around in our head, right? We're indoctrinated in the culture, that culture, from the time we're little children. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, it takes us some time to get to understand what is the culture here so that we can function harmoniously and seamlessly within the culture. So the same thing for Varnashram culture. The first requirement is that everybody has a common understanding about what it is and how it works. Otherwise, you wind up with a lot of problems. Well, I thought it was supposed to be like this. No, I thought it was supposed to be like that. No, you fool, it's supposed to be like this. Huh? And then you wind up with a lot of problems. So the first thing is to get everybody on the same page, so to speak, right, with the same understanding. This, in my experience, is very difficult. For the main reason that most people don't want to think about it. Very simple. So now, this is not much different than many other, what are called intentional communities, where people come together to live together in an intentional way, in some way that's different from individual families having their own economic development. Every community will go through different challenges, or let's say has the same challenges in terms of how they will settle disputes, how they will manage money, where the money will come from, so on like that. Shishi Panchatattva Ki. She got any time key. So every community that's going to, let's say every group of people that's going to try to form a community, they all have to deal with these issues. And it's a very difficult task. Most of those communities, they're not successful because they're not, they don't approach the culture of their community in the proper way. So this is the first and biggest challenge. Even before that is the leadership. There has to be somebody who's going to take it on themselves to become basically the father of the community. You know, somebody who's going to be the leader. And it's by their initiative alone that it's going to start. Because unless somebody takes initiative, nothing happens. Those type of people who are inclined to take initiative, those are called kshatriyas. That's their nature. But they need the help of a brahmana who to give direction and what to do. So Prabhupada said like that, both brahmana and kshatriya, both of them are required. So that's the first thing. Second thing, right? So, like that. It's not an easy thing to do. Very, very challenging. Rishabhdev, he's God. He could do it. The rest of us, we'll see. Yeah. Come to the microphone, please. No, this one.
So if I understand this correctly, is, okay, you need to have brahmanas and kshatriyas.
All right, slow down, good.
So, but if you have brahmanas and kshatriyas, they also must eat. Everybody must eat.
They what?
They have to eat. So
they
have to eat. They need food.
Greed.
No, they need food.
They need to eat. Sure.
Yes. So they must either find somewhere a job to earn money, or they can grow their own food, or somebody must grow food for them. Otherwise, it cannot work. So. Am I thinking correctly or not?
What? Everybody has to eat? Yeah, I think you're correct on that.
No, but then if you have an ashram, if you don't have some economic, I don't know, some business or some farm, then it cannot work.
Agriculture is the economic system for Vanashram Dharma, not money making. Okay, now how do you get that established? These are some of the questions that the founders have to deal with. They have to figure it out. How are we going to maintain ourselves? Now in my idea of a, how would you say, the ideal Vanashram system, there would be no money. Okay? And I think we can get there, maybe in 100 years. Maybe less, but probably more. But that would be the ideal. Until that time, then there's, you know, you have to work out, because the problem is, for example, when you use money, it destroys the Vanashram culture. Okay? Vanashram culture, as we were saying yesterday, is a mutually dependent society. I depend on you, you depend on me. This is our social security. This is how the whole thing works. In those circumstances, I want you to be a good person because I depend on you. I don't want you to be a lazy liar, right? And you want the same thing for me. So we naturally act to lift each other up. You know, I won't allow you to be a lazy person. Come on, get with it. You know, you won't allow me. So, but in the, where is that going with that? Money. Yeah, so money destroys that. Because if I have money, I don't need you. If you have money, you don't need me. That's this society, right? We each have our money, and, you know, I'll take care of myself. Thank you very much. So, for example, in one community I was visiting, the devotees there were saying, well, we don't feel, you know, we come together, we have our weekly program, and it's kind of nice, but we don't feel very close. How can we become more close? And so I said, well, what you have to do is you have to combine your interest. So I suggested, so you make one bank account. Everybody puts all their money that they get in that bank account, and you all work out of that account, just like a married couple. They didn't think very much of that idea. They thought that was a little bit extreme. So, well, what else can we do? Okay, plant and harvest together. Okay? But you see, this is the point. It's a very important point. That You know, in modern society, we're trained to be independent. And we're comfortable with that. We're pushed to do that. Why? Because this is divide and conquer. The powers that be, they want to separate everybody so that they can't depend on each other and help each other. If you read my book, you read this in chapter 4. I explain how they undid it from previously. So, lost my point again. Oh yeah, interdependent. So, you know, it's a not easy thing to do. How am I going to become dependent on you? You're going to become dependent on me. This is a big challenge, right? Or the other alternative is we have money and then we're independent of each other. Well, that's not really Vanashram Dharma either. You see? So how do we crack this nut? It's not an easy thing. Now there are other alternative economic systems other than using the euro or the dollar or some other government currency where you have a local currency that people make and so on like that. There's a lot of communities, every community has to deal with this, and there's a lot of communities who do it in different ways. And so we should take help from such people who are already pioneering the way pioneering those ways. But again, it comes back to what do we define as Vanashram Dharma? Okay, is it just we live together on the land? Is that Vanashram Dharma? Well, not exactly. You know, what is it that makes it Vanashram Dharma? This has to be discussed also. So I'm going to give my opinion on some of these things in this seminar, but Sivaram Swami and those devotees, they may have a different idea. You know? And what are you going to do over here?
I have another question. So, okay, one point is Varnashram and another point is economic pillars. That means agriculture, yes?
Yeah.
So, but the Amish people, as far as I understand, they have been doing this. They're independent. So we can learn from them or not?
Sure, you can learn from them, but you know, their circumstances are very different. They're already established on the land. They don't have to pay a mortgage. Right? Now, if you're gonna go get some land, where are you gonna get it from? Okay? Are you gonna take a mortgage? If you're gonna take a mortgage, then you need money. Then you can't stay on the land. You have to leave the land to go to the city to get money to pay for your land so that you can live on the land. Right? It's a catch-22. Ideally, in the Varnashram system, according to Manu, the Kshatriya, he's supposed to get the land. And he can get it by warfare, which we really can't do today. That's out. He could get it by inheritance. Okay, if somebody's got a lot of land and they're Kshatriya type, they can invite people to come live there. Or they can do it by gambling. Now, all the devotees are going to criticize him. Oh, you're breaking the regulative principles. Well, Kshatriyas have different principles, actually. They're allowed to have more than one wife also. But these are some of the, you know, do you go against the law of the land, right? We won't take more than one wife because this law is against it. We can't do that. So, you know, will he go get land by gambling? Well, that's what Manu says. In other words, this is the nature of a Kshatriya. He's the guy who can do that. It's his kingdom. It's not, you know, not modern society. Everybody has their own land. No, he's the king. It's his land. And you live there at his grace. He'll give you a place to live. No mortgage. Oh, pretty nice. But in exchange, you have to do your duty. Huh? And so that's why he has the sword. He comes along and says, oh, you're not doing your duty, huh? Let's think about this. Let's go out and back. So he keeps he keeps everybody honest. He provides, he's the Kshatriya, provides the Kshetra, the place, for everybody to come and do their thing, but they have to do their duty. And that's one of his jobs, is to see that everybody does do their duty. So then, you know, you can hear, you can see the court cases coming, right? So the Kshatriya, he invited me to live on his land, but when I didn't, when I was sleeping all day, he came out and beat me up. Oh, okay, I'm going to sue you. So it's not as easy as it might appear to be. Huh? There has to be some teeth in it in different ways. Okay, all right? Right.
What can
finish. Okay.
What can one do for this idea of Varsha Dharma?
Okay. We spoke about this yesterday. Figure out who you are, huh, and what your dharma is, so that you can, you know, make your contribution, whatever you want it to be. Most people, they don't know who they are, right? We said, you know, what is my varna? Well, that depends on what you like to do. Very simple. What do you like to do? Most people don't know what they like to do because they've never tried to do that. So that's what you can do, and you can work on that immediately. When you get that figured out, then you can come and join the party. More?
If we make Varna Ashrama properly, then we must be good Vaishnava. Otherwise, it's dangerous that we go one step back, because we be depend you Kshatriya or Vaishya, and then we go down not to Krishna or to the spiritual level.
That's a good point. Varnashram Dharma is actually a culture for people who are situated in Sattva-gun, primarily, because it functions in that way. If people are too much in Rajagun, it won't work, like this society. So modern society, Varnashram is always there, but modern society, Prabhupada called it Asurak Varnashram, meaning they're doing it in a demonic way. They're abusing this system, that the people are not properly situated. They're not doing their duty properly. The economic development is artificial. Everything is wrong. So it's demonic. So how to make it function properly is people have to come to sattva. Now, this is what Shivaram Swami is, the first point that he's making in his lectures on Varnashram, is that there's a personal requirement of everybody to participate in it. Okay, and I'm going to cover that in later, in our later discussions. You know, what is my qualification for being in Varnashram? So like you raise the question, well, we think we're above Varnashram, but, probably you're not qualified for Varnashram. Most everybody. We don't even know what that is, because we don't know what it is. We have some idea, some vague idea, and because we have a wrong idea of it, we think it doesn't apply to us or something like that. But first thing is to have some understanding of what it is, and then we can answer all the other questions. Balaji.
As before, the question was raised, what we can do to help to establish Varnashram, and the answer was to find our Varna. That would help. May I ask, would it be possible that maybe in some of next lectures, or maybe some separate seminar we would have for those of us who would like to figure out our Varna, or start to figuring out, and that could you perhaps help with this, that we would have some questionnaire or some conversation, consultation or something?
Yeah, I wasn't planning on doing that. in this series, but maybe we could put something together like that. We have to see who's qualified or who has the material. I have some ideas about that, but they're not really well developed. If anybody has some ideas about that, you can see Baladev, and he'll, you can work with him in putting that idea together.
I have just one question. When you said before that by moving to a farm or by establishing Varnashrama, that we can pave the way
to Godhead,
yeah, for others as well. How can that function? Because I understand that if you go on a farm, you live kind of more isolated life, and then
more what?
Isolated, like you.
Alternative.
Alternative. Okay, and but how can you then, you know, pave the way for others? But is it like by living? As an yeah. example?
Okay, sure. It's called pioneering work, okay? Just like all of our forefathers, they did a lot of work to establish these roads, the sewers, the electricity. We just come in and flip a switch. We don't think twice about it. But a lot of people had to work very hard because 100 years ago, there wasn't that stuff there. So the same thing for establishing Varnashram. In 100 years, ideally, hopefully, people can be born and they won't even learn fruitive work. Maybe they'll hear about that idea when they become a teenager and they go, what a strange idea. Trying to keep the results for yourself? Whoever thought of that? That's demonic. So, right? So it'll be so easy for them. They won't even hear about it. So naturally, their whole understanding, their whole culture is going to be do everything to please Krishna. They'll know nothing else but devotional service. I want to take birth again when it's ready. we'll help set it up, but then I want to come and take advantage of it later. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Going once. Going twice.
I read in some of Prabhupada's, I don't know, I think it was Morning Walk or something. I think it was Morning Walk conversation from Prabhupada, and there was this question, you know, if we come and have farms, you know, people won't come to our farms because they have jobs, yeah? And Prabhupada said, don't worry about that, there will soon be a lot of unemployment, so don't worry about that.
Yeah. That's coming. Okay. All right then. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.